And the Bible, when it comes to talk about this blind man, you know, the background to this situation is that Jesus was a medical worker. Because he came to heal and to save and to restore and to make people's lives whole. But not everybody was in alignment with that objective. Not everybody was glad to see a blind man's eyes been opened. Not everybody was glad to hear to see deaf ears been opened or the dead been raised. You ever think about when Lazarus was raised from the dead? The reactions of some of the people. Instead of rejoicing with Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, people ran into Jerusalem to the temple, to the Pharisees. Hey, somebody was raised by the dead from Jesus. So what this story here, we get the reaction of all that is worse than human nature. Jesus had a conflict with the religious leaders of the day. I know what it's centered around. What you do on the Sabbath day. It's centered on that. What you do on the Sabbath day. And we had a religious group of people and they already had A, B, C, D. That's what you do on the Sabbath day and nothing else. And Jesus came into the midst. And Jesus started to do things on the Sabbath day that they didn't like. He started to heal people. Now, for a person who's got an illness or a disease that doctors can't do anything about, for somebody to come, no matter what day of the week it is, to speak into their lives and so that person is totally restored to that person, it is amazing. And why shouldn't other people enjoy that and celebrate with a person? But here in this story, that wasn't the case. Because every time Jesus done a miracle on the Sabbath, he had opposition. Now I want you to look at a few of the people in this story. Because there's actually quite a lot to look at. Because we've got the disciples. We've got the neighbours. We've got the Pharisees. We've got the blind man's parents. We've got the crowd who saw everything and heard everything that was going on. And so as we come to this story, as I said, it's a continuation of a conflict that Jesus has had with these religious authorities. And the story tells us that Jesus has got power. That Jesus has power. He has power to speak to diseases. He has power to open blind eyes. He has power to calm the storm. He has power to speak to nature as well as to people's lives. Because he was the Son of God. And the people who had the Word of God, to keep the Word of God and to teach the Word of God, never recognized him when he came. Now, isn't that a sad thing? That you can have the Word of God and you can read it, but you cannot recognize the one who is speaking about. So this story also gives us a glimpse into how Jesus deals with people. And so as we come to this story, we start off in John chapter 9, verse 2. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? There's the question. Master, who did sin? So we've got the disciples. And the disciples are like so many people. They're asking a theological question. It's a theological question. They have in the back of their mind that somewhere along the generational line, either this man's parents or the man himself, and of course, how can he sin when he's just been born? But they have it in the back of their mind, there must have been something done that they deserve this. And so they're coming to Jesus with a theological question. And they're trying to reflect on the meaning of why this man here is blind. And they're trying to find out where did the cause come from for this? Because it's judgment on the person. That's their belief. This man's blind because somewhere along the line, somebody in his generation has done something wrong, or he's done something wrong. He deserves it. They wanted to solve the abstract problem instead of ministering to the individual. And that is the case with so many people, isn't it? Wanting to solve an abstract problem instead of ministering into the need and the condition of a person. And the man here is blind. He cannot see. And they talk about him being a sinner. The man is regarded as a sinner. But that was less important to their debate. They wanted to know what was the cause. Instead of seeing a man who is in need and need ministry so he can have full restoration, they want to know abstract problems. The who, the why, the where, the when, every time something happens in life, there's always this, why did this happen to me? Who done this? And so the disciples, they are asking theological questions which were irrelevant. And then we also have, in verse 8, the neighbours therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So we have the neighbours. Now they could be good neighbours, they could be bad neighbours. They could be very kind to the man. They could be very indifferent to the man. But they come with the question, was not this a beggar that used to sit there? Was not this man, we passed him every day. He was in the same place every day, begging for money. Is this not that man? And so they seen this man as a beggar. They already had their judgment and their view of the man. That man was dependent on them. Because unless these people took pity on him and supplied him with food, that man was not able to enter for himself. He sat there every day begging. And some of the neighbours, perhaps, they found him a nuisance and wished he would go and sit somewhere else. The man never made he never done anything that helped society. He was unproductive. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't see. He was there, dependent 100% upon those who passed him every day and those who lived around about him. And then you have the Pharisees. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. The thing about these religious people, they only wanted to use this man as a tool. Because they were hoping that by taking this man and questioning this man, they could find fault with Jesus. They weren't interested that this man, from his birth, had been blind. They only had one objective. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. And it's so typical of human nature because it goes on all the time, all through history. And their only interest is, how can we use this man so that we can get to Jesus and we can get rid of him? Because he was healing on the Sabbath and we don't agree with it. He should never do anything like that. The Sabbath should be a place where he sits there and does nothing. And that was their opinion. And anything contrary to that, no matter how great the miracle, you need to get rid of the guy. But when their plans could not be realised through this man, what did they do? They cast him out of a synagogue. John 9:34, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. It's such an interesting story, because this story is showing the development of faith in this man. And then in his development of faith, he started to speak basically a number of truths. And here his teachers, they just could not take it and just threw him out of the synagogue and said, don't you dare teach us. Don't you dare think a person like you with no education, blind and being in the street, and you dare speak to us what we should believe about this man. You're just a sinner. And they just cast him out. He had no pity, no compassion. It's just human nature. And it goes on all the time. Throughout history, that you read through the scriptures, these things happened all the time. Not believing the word of God. Jeremiah was lucky to escape with his life because he didn't believe his word. And the religious leaders would try to, they would speak against him. Jesus, he spoke against them. You know, and so we can contrast these three attitudes of the disciples wanting to know theological questions, the neighbours saying he was just a beggar, how did he get his sight back, and the Pharisees who want to use this man as a tool. And then Jesus speaks. See, Jesus viewed this person as a human being. He viewed this man as a, had his own personality, he was made in the image of Adam, and he needed restoration so that he would be restored. And he needed an encounter with the living God. And so the Bible tells us in John 9:3, Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This man is blind, nothing to do whatsoever with his parents. Nothing whatsoever to do with the man himself. We're in a fallen world, and in this fallen world, different things happen which had nothing to do with the sins of the persons involved. The man's condition called for action rather than discussion. And see, Jesus was always full of compassion. The one great thing about Jesus is he would look upon the people and he would have compassion on them. The people who would come and follow him up the hillside to hear him, he would have compassion on them when he speak to the disciples and say, we need to feed them. Even before his crucifixion, he stood and he looked over Jerusalem and he wept for him because he had compassion for the city. He knew what was going to come. He knew the destruction the Romans would bring. And so Jesus changes the focus to the works of God, rather than explaining the wherefores and the whys that men always seek. Jesus changed the focus to the works of God. Why? Because Jesus has come to destroy the works of darkness. He has come to bring destruction to the kingdom of darkness and to bring the good news that he is the light of the world, and that salvation and healing and deliverance comes through him and no one else. And so he changed the focus because he wanted to get the real purpose instead of this man being left in a destiny and condition of sitting by the wayside all his life, totally blind. Jesus wanted to speak health and strength into this man and to speak destiny into this man. And so Jesus' focus is restoring this man to make him whole. And the other thing to note about this, it's the only occasion recorded in the scriptures that Jesus performed a miracle on a person who was defective from birth. The Bible says the man was blind. And the Bible tells us that Jesus spat on the ground, on the mud, made two little balls, stuck them in the man's eyes. You know what that's telling you? That's telling you when that man was born, he never had eyes in his eye sockets. You looked at him all year, seeing it was just a white, nothing there, no eyes. And know what Jesus did? He took the dirt. Do you know how God made Adam? He took the dirt. The Bible says that into the very depths of the earth, Jesus went and took dirt. What did he do? He formed the dirt. And once he formed it into a man, then he said, he breathed upon him, and Adam became a living soul. And Jesus takes the same dirt, forms the eyes, sticks them into man, and says to man, now you go to the pool Siloam and wash. And as this blind man would make his way to this pool, and he washed himself, his eyes opened and he could see. What an amazing miracle. Jesus opened this blinded man's eyes. Changed all the focus from all the opinions of people to the works of God and why Jesus has come. And let me tell you today, Jesus' purpose in coming remains the same today. He has come to destroy the works of the devil. He has come to bring healing and deliverance. The Bible tells us he has come for the one. See, this man here, Jesus never needed to heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus could have known this man. Because Jesus knew that as soon as he's going to minister to this man, chaos is going to erupt. He knows that everybody is going to be up in arms and there's going to be everything just about falling on top of him. He knew the opposition that was going to happen if he healed this man. But Jesus opened his blinded eyes. He opened his blinded eyes. A man whose case was hopeless, he gave sight. And you might be in a place today where you find everything is hopeless. You might find everything is against me. You might find, how can I get out of where I am? Let me tell you, Jesus goes out his way to meet the one. The Bible tells us about a woman in Samaria that Jesus said he must go by Samaria. And he went and waited a while for that one person. And here we've got this one man. One man. And he's willing to take all the opposition. He's willing to take all that's going to come against him. And instead of having a quiet Sabbath, he was going to have a Sabbath fighting lots of people. And he said, I've come for the one. And Jesus ministered to this man. And see, this man, he developed in faith. Like that. Amazingly, an encounter with God and his faith started to soar. And within a very short time, he had full confidence and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The healing, Jesus' motive is always the same. Jesus was full of compassion. And he had little to gain from healing this man. The people already had seen him do mighty miracles. His reputation for feeding the multitude. So all of that reputation was there, so he never had to demonstrate anything in order to show the power that he had. But the compassion that was in his heart, he ministered to this man. And he'd done a great miracle. And the miracle was so great, it was undeniable. We hear about people people get healed, and some healings, but you can deny them because they're not seen. Some might get healed from cancer, different things, but you see, this man never had any eyes. He had no eyes whatsoever, and now he's got two eyes, and now he can see. And so the healing was undeniable. The disciples, they saw it. The neighbors, they all saw it. The Pharisees who questioned the man, who questioned his parents, they saw it. The multitude that were there, they were challenged by because they saw the miracle as well. And every one of them acknowledged that this man was born blind, that this man was a beggar, and now he could see. And even this man himself, his confession of faith is positive. And each time he was questioned on what happened to him, he was very simple and direct. He said, "I was blind." A man called Jesus came, stuck mud in my eyes, told me to go and wash his tools down home. Hey, I can see. And they would keep coming back to him. "Tell us again." And the man would get frustrated with him. He said, "I'm dumb, are you? What do you not understand about my condition?" And the man dealt with all the things that you read about in this story. He deals with all the queries of the neighbours and his friends. Because when they say, I think he's the man that was there. He said, "No, I am the man that was there. I am the man that was blind." His parents were brought. And his parents were interrogated. "Is this your son?" "Yes." "How did his eyes get opened?" "Don't know." But they were also quite timid. And they're saying, "Hey, he's of age. He can speak for himself." Well, for his age, that means he was at least 30 years of old. Because in that culture, 30 was when you came to a place of manhood, wasn't it? Came to a place where the priest would start to do their ministry. So they were too scared of. So they said, "Go and ask him. Don't interrogate us." But you know, the more he got asked, the more progressive his testimony became. And the more that he started to tell of his testimony what happened, then the Pharisees concluded that Jesus was a sinner. It's amazing, isn't it? The more that this man gave his testimony, "I was blind, now I can see." Who done it? It was Jesus. So they concluded that Jesus was a sinner. Why was he a sinner? Well, because he healed on the Sabbath. So like human nature, isn't it? Human nature gets all tangled up. And it never changes from one generation to the next generation. And we go to John verse 17. And they say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him, that he have opened thine eyes?" And the man had a further revelation. He's a prophet. "The man who opened my eyes, his name is Jesus. He's a prophet." What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that Jesus was a prophet. And this man had the revelation, "Hey, the one that opened my eyes, he's a prophet." The Pharisees concluded he's a sinner. But the man whose eyes were opened, he said he's a prophet. And as I said, his parents were interrogated. And they were so vehement against this man. And you notice, as he testifies, the words of his testimony, which were words of what actually happened to him, and who he believed, the one who had made his eyes open. His words were so powerful that he was cast out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that the man was cast out. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came and sought him out. Jesus never ever leaves us in a place where we are stranded, where we're on our own, where we don't know what way to turn. Jesus always comes. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, when he heard this, he came to him and he started to have a conversation with him. And in verse 36, the man responds as Jesus speaks to him. He says, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus says, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Because remember, the man was blind. And when he was sent to the poor of Siloam, he had never seen the face of Jesus. But as Jesus speaks the words, as Jesus ministers to him, he's recognizing the voice. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And as he is recognizing the voice, Jesus confirmed it to him. He says, the one who opened your eyes, you're looking at him now, is the one who's talking with you. What was the response of this man? Verse 30. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Jesus. He believed and he worshipped Jesus. And there's only one today who is worthy to be worshipped and to be adored and to be given the praise and the honor and the rightful adoration, and his name is Jesus. There are plenty who want to take his place. There's plenty who's looking for you to worship him. But there's only one true God. His name is Jesus, and it's the one who opens blinded eyes and gives new eyes. He is one who brings total restoration to your life. He is the one who will go out of his way to come to where you are, to minister to you, because he's the one who is full of compassion and love for you. But he is in the business of total restoration, in the business of changing all your circumstances, changing where you are, to shift you and to move you and to bring you into the place of destiny and calling that God has for you. You see, and when unbelief comes, because these Pharisees, they had the law and they had the prophets. But as you read through the New Testament, half the time they never knew what the law and the prophets said. We find it in another instance. Remember when they said, go and search the scriptures, go and search the scriptures. There's no prophet that comes from Galilee. Remember the time when the people are saying, Jesus is the Christ. No, he's not. He's this, he's that. And the Pharisees say, oh, go and search. You'll not find a prophet from Galilee. And yet in the scriptures there was a prophet from Galilee. The prophet that they never believed in, the prophet Jonah. So you have these people who have the scriptures, but they don't know them or understand them. They had replaced them with their traditions, which was a dead letter that never produced life in the people. resulting in all the prejudices that they held, and they became ignorant. And the blind man pointed that out to them. Verse 29, as for this fellow, talking about Jesus, we know not from whence he is. It's what an amazing confession, isn't it? By people who are supposed to know the scripture. We don't know where he came from. We don't know who this guy is. We have the scriptures that tells us where he's going to be born. We have the scriptures that reveals all about his character, all what he's going to do. But we don't know who he is. We don't know where he came from. But yet, the leaders were called before Herod to say, where is he that's going to be born king of the Jews? And not one of them went down to Bethlehem to see if that was the case, that the king had been born. We don't know where the people could have shut our ears. We've got our religion. We've got our... You see, Jesus is not like that. He's come for the one. Religion can strip us up. Politics can strip us up. But Jesus comes to open the blinded eyes, so that those who cannot see will see. Those who are dead in their sins will be made alive. Those who don't know God can come into an encounter and know his presence. He has come to save and to heal and to restore and to make all things new. He has come to minister into your life so that everything will change and nothing will remain as it was. This man, he was persistent, telling what actually happened to him and taking a step further as he's getting revelations. It was Jesus. He's a prophet. He's from God. He said, because if he wasn't from God, he said, that miracle would have never happened to me. Tell me in history, who has opened blind eyes? Who has given anybody new eyes who were born without any eyes? He asked the question. Nobody. But when Jesus came, he demonstrated the love of the Father. He revealed the love of the Father for individuals. He went out of his way to get the one, and he will go out of his way for you today. The Bible says, call upon me, and I will answer you. And this man, he took one step at a time. He acted on Jesus' instructions. He could have sat there and said, ah, what does he mean, go down to the pool of Siloam? What have you done to my eyes? What's all this mud I'm feeling in my eyes? He could have had 101 questions and he could have ignored Jesus. And many people do ignore Jesus because they don't follow his instructions. See, people want to know and then I'll follow you. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, if you follow me, then you will know. Just like this man, you want to now see, go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. If you do not follow Jesus' instructions, you're not moving anywhere. This man obeyed. He believed Jesus. He done what he said, and his eyes were opened. He took one step at a time. And as he took one step at a time, given the revelation of what happened to him, until more revelation was coming. And his story was getting stronger and stronger, until when Jesus came and revealed himself to him, he said, Lord, I believe. I'm following you now. I'm following you, Jesus. And so Jesus comes to reveal himself so that we will worship him and that we will follow him and that we will lay all other things aside. But the Pharisees were there. And they saw it all. So Jesus left them with a parable. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world. Did you know that? For judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see. Well, this blind man, he couldn't see a thing. And in the natural, his eyes were opened. But in the spiritual, the same principle applies. God wants to open your eyes so that you will see Jesus and that you will know that he is the Son of the living God. But then he goes on to say, and that they which see might be made blind. These Pharisees with their spirit, their physical eyes could see, but spiritually they were in darkness. Don't remain in darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. And his light shines on the pathway so bright that you can follow him easily. And he says, I have come for the one. I have come for you today. So come and follow me. And know my presence and know my power. And know that I am the one who lifts you up from your blindness, puts you upon your feet, and gives you destiny in your life. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare today, no other person can open both the physical blind eyes and the spiritual blind eyes. But Jesus is able to open our eyes that we might see him, that we might look upon him, that we might know him. And so, Father, as we leave this word, we ask you, quicken it by your Holy Spirit. And Father, the eyes will be opened today. And the people will come. That one will come and worship Jesus. That one will come and bow before him and say, Lord, I believe. You are the Son of God. So Father, we thank you today for the goodness of our God and the revelations that you give us. And so we say, Father, bless the people now in the name of Jesus. Amen.